You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to have potential, it's a real way would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window trying to shine through the water, and I'd like to get the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Our thanks to Dr. Ted Brower, and I tell you, what an hour. That was an incredible hour, and our thanks also to Josh Coy. Make sure that you check out his new radio show right here on Global Star Radio Network, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday evening, same time slot that we're in on Sundays. And you can hear by Josh. He has just a great show. Trust me, I was on his show down in Birmingham, 50,000 water. It was incredible, incredible show. But he told the truth too many times, and that's why they let him go. His ratings were great, and they've lost all kinds of listeners, but, you know, be that as it may. Anyway, this hour we are brought to you by Numana, and everybody should have storable food, and I mean everybody. FEMA chief said, what did he say this week? We need to go from, it was originally 3 days, and it was 14 days, and now he said it needs to be a way of life. He's right. He must know something that's coming, and you better take heed. Numana.com/Hodges and use the coupon code Hodges9 to take 5% off. We're also brought to you by Trade Genius Academy. I love this guy, Bob Kudla. I'm doing a pre-record with him after the show tonight. Guy's fascinating, and I consult with him all the time on my YouTube channel with regard to economic issues. Well, he's offering a training course for cryptocurrency. And there's lots of people making some money. I've even made a little. I haven't dabbled in too hard. Of course, I'm taking it out right away. I'm going to buy precious metals. But there's still the bubble, and I think it's going to go on beyond the bubble, because in countries that are having collapsing currencies like Venezuela, they're going to Bitcoin. Well, find out what it's all about. Take his training, I should say, 7-part, 3 to 4 hours to complete. You can do it in a weekend. And find out not only what cryptocurrency is, but how you can make money on it. And, of course, I just wanted to reinforce what Ted Brower was offering in the second hour. Healthmasters.com, great health products. I'm standing erect today because of Dr. Ted. Ted, don't go on vacation again. You've heard me say that a couple times now. 5 days of misery until he got back and treated me. How do you get a hold of him? Well, healthmasters.com, and the coupon code is CSS for the Common Sense Show, CSS5. Well, we have such a knowledgeable guest coming up, and it's I read his stuff every day. I'm really, really lucky to be on his email list. It saves me so much time and research. I knew within moments of the reports of these hurricanes from reading Dane Wigington's work that these were man-made, manufactured weather events. And Dane's going to talk about this and other things, too. We got a big, big, big danger on the horizon, and it's coming quickly. And Dane's going to talk to us about that as well. Geoengineering Watch is the name of his organization. I believe it's a .com on the end. Is that right, Dane?
It's actually .org. We own .com as well, but .org is our primary site.
I wrote down the .org and thought I made a mistake. Don't second-guess yourself. Anyway, what a great website this is. And you want to know what's going on with weather and what's behind the weather? I can't recommend this site often enough, and it comes to me automatically, so I don't have to type in the URL. It's just there, and I click it, and it's there for the taking. But let's start with the hurricanes, because this is what was on people's minds. Are these man-made events, and how do we know?
Well, we have to separate the spawning of the cyclones from the steering of the cyclones. The oceans are extraordinarily warm all over the globe, and that certainly is the fuel for cyclonic rotations. We know, Dave, we've had a 4,342-day major cyclone impact drought on the U.S. because they've been suppressing cyclones. That technology has existed for decades. They've been at the intervention for 70 years. So why, at minimum, with nature spawning cyclones and they've been redirecting or suppressing the convection, why now did they, at minimum, allow these cyclones to develop? And when we know they have the technology to manipulate these storms, Dave, if you might have noticed, these cyclones did not spin up to full strength until they got fairly near land masses in the more toward the western Atlantic. Did you notice that they migrate across for a great distance without being full strength, and they spun up more near where they impacted? I did notice that.
In fact, the analogy, I used an old football analogy, not NFL, don't get mad at me, folks, but I did use a football analogy. I said, it's like a running back bouncing from hole to hole, making a decision when to turn on the afterburners. And that's how I saw it.
In this case, the cyclones are certainly easier to direct when they're not at full strength, and they appeared to be hampering convection a bit until they neared where the impact zones were. And once they're there, for your listeners that haven't seen what we have at geoengineeringwatch.org, if they look up the articles that are top stories in recent under Hurricane Irma, Harvey, and so forth, you can see the animations, which I know, Dave, you said you saw. You can see the radio frequency microwave transmissions interacting with the storm and affecting the storm. And this is patented technology, so we're not guessing or speculating. And bottom line is, Dave, in a nutshell for your listeners, on climate engineering as a whole that started over 70 years ago at full scale and has been ramped up all along the way, we've all been subjected to a grand and lethal experiment from which there is no going back without our knowledge and consent, and the consequences now are manifesting in a truly cataclysmic way.
Well, cataclysm, I think, is exactly right, and I want to get to the most serious, but not right away, before we can explore these hurricanes. When they come onshore, can they be directed towards more, shall I say, desirable targets?
Again, yes. On the steering, for your listeners, I would ask them, for those that are perhaps not familiar with this issue or skeptical, I would ask them to consider just how far in advance, for example, Hurricane Harvey, how could they know it would take such an anomalous path so far in advance it would go onshore, back offshore, back onshore, and remain in that general zone? And when we couple that forecast, that certainly should be more correctly categorized as the scheduled weather for Hurricane Harvey, and if your listeners would simply look at the data we have, look at the radio frequency transmissions we have that we captured in real time while it was happening, interacting with the storm, and the transmissions can and are keeping the storm in whatever position they want, depending on where the frequency transmissions are located. And we have those transmissions from Texas, from Louisiana, and I would encourage your listeners to look at those, and they can see with their own eyes the inarguable effect those transmissions have on those cyclonic rotations. So the answer is absolutely yes. And we can speculate as to the why. Why would our own government, our own military, and those corporations involved with our own military, why would our own infrastructure, our own mainland be a target of what amounts to weather warfare? We can speculate on the why, and there's likely many, many agendas being carried out, but the fact that these cyclones are being manipulated, that's beyond question at this point.
When you look at this whole scenario involving weather modification, does this go back to what Nick Begich was talking about two decades ago with HARP?
That's a part of the equation. Something that, and Nick certainly has very solid data. He's been a huge help in this issue, and I hope Nick maybe begins to address also the atmospheric aerosolization, which is being done under the categories of climate engineering, solar radiation management, geoengineering, and those two factors go together. So as the atmosphere is saturated with electrically conductive particulates, light scattering electrically conductive particulates, those are manipulated with radio frequency microwave transmissions. And as you move saturated air masses that are full of these particulates, that moves the air mass with it. And this is part of how they steer storm systems, not just cyclones. They can make or break those systems. For example, Dave, in creating drought, every single Middle Eastern country, every single one that Wesley Clark named 1 week after 9/11 that would be toppled, was subjected to a once-in-1,000-year drought before they were destabilized. Now, can we really mathematically chalk that up to just coincidence, especially when we have the leaders of those countries on the floor of the UN, like the leaders of Iran, who have sophisticated military, sophisticated radar, stating on the record NATO weather modification programs were cutting the rain off to their country. And it's not just there. We see the same thing happening in California. It's happening again right now. In fact, those who think the drought is over, who have been pacified by the rain we got last year, and because we have a little bit of water in our reservoirs now, the forest fuel moisture is here, and they are absolutely cutting off our rain. We watch them on satellite do it every single day from the west. So it's not just other countries being targeted. But we are at record low forest fuel moistures right now, all-time record low. So for those who don't think that the drought is still going on here, guess again.
I've got, in fact, we need to pass this on to our sound engineer as well. One of my neighbors who listens to the show, he said, are you aware that Dane's audio has dropped almost 12 times since the beginning of the show? Now, you're coming through to me 5x5, but I wanted to give this out so Todd can go ahead and check on this and do whatever Todd does. He does magic. And he also wanted me to ask you this too, Dane. I think it's a good question. He said, ask Dane about the high-pressure bypass turbine engines. I'm not sure what he's talking about.
High-bypass turbofan jet engine. This is important for people who have been trained. The condensation trail lie is perhaps the biggest lie ever perpetrated on the populations all over the globe, Dave, because we're not seeing condensation. We're seeing particulate dispersion. So if people understood that all commercial aircraft and all military tankers have a high-bypass turbofan jet engine, that's in essence, a jet-powered fan. 85% of the air that moves through that engine is non-combusted. It's for fuel efficiency, and by design, it's nearly incapable of producing a condensation trail except under rare circumstances. So when we have photographs, and I know you've seen these, Dave, of the retrofit nozzles mounted on the pylons aimed directly into the engine exhaust jet stream to make this look like, quote, condensation, if people would just look at the data, they would understand that we're not speculating on any of this. We have the information. We have the photos. We have the film footage of these aircraft turning on and off. You can't turn a condensation trail on and off. We're not dealing with condensation in almost any circumstances when we see a bright trail behind an aircraft.
Okay, that's a good answer. That's something I wasn't sure about, but it makes perfect sense. Do you know there's an analogy there, Dean, and I don't want to go too far afield with this, but when we looked at how BP tried to deal with the Gulf oil spill, they didn't use a dispersant. They used Corexit, which buried the oil into the water column. And is there anything analogous to that? Am I hearing you say that with regard to what's happening with some of these systems?
It's completely parallel. Because did they utilize, quote-unquote, Corexit for the greater good? Was it really in any sense a benefit? Or was it simply cover it up at all costs, regardless of the consequences? So when we have environmental impact reports from the Gulf that state the use of Corexit made that situation over 50 times more toxic, then obviously we're not dealing with entities in our government that are working for the common good. They simply want to cover things up. Same is true with climate engineering. So, again, when people ask the why, Dave, we have weather warfare that's been used since the late 40s in various circumstances. It's a matter of historical record. But we also have, as they've intervened with the climate system, they've done immense and irreparable damage. The worse the damage gets, a major aspect of climate engineering is to try to mask that damage or cover it up or confuse the population in regard to the full extent of that damage while doing even more damage at the same time. So it's the same mentality, very parallel to the approach in the Gulf.
What are they ultimately trying to achieve, in your opinion?
Again, that's a very, very complex agenda. So you have, as I stated, the attempt to mask the true severity of damage done to the climate system. And for your listeners, again, I stress this is not about Al Gore or carbon credits, both shams, but any form of human activity that alters the energy balance of the planet is a form of geoengineering. The intentional climate engineering intervention programs are the biggest factor of all at this point, but not the only factor. So as damage has been inflicted on the climate and we have massive division on the ground, as you know, Dave, and so the climate engineers, part of what they do, when you see snow falling over the pyramids or in United Arab Emirates or someplace else, it's sometimes 40 and 50 degrees, places where it's never snowed before, or some tropical island, we just had that in the Caribbean about a year and a half ago. Those are engineered events with chemical ice nucleation materials. They can nucleate rain and convert that to a frozen precipitation, which does eventually lower temperatures on the ground temporarily. And we know these processes exist. We have patents for them. The Chinese government openly announced they were engaging in this process. So that confuses a lot of people. When they see snow in the pyramids, they think, how could it be, how could the planet be damaged? How could there be climate change? How could the planet be warming if it's snowing there? Dave, do you remember in 2014 that headlines constantly were how much snow was in Boston? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, very well.
So at the same time, in the middle of January, 14,000 feet up in the Sierras, we had nothing. It was 80 degrees. And the trees, the tree die-off here is cataclysmic. In fact, I just saw a statistic today. It's nearly 100 million dead trees, and that's a very conservative figure, dead in the Sierras alone. That's just the Sierras, not the Cascades or any of the other ranges. So we have these radical weather whiplash scenarios, and I think you've experienced some of those in Arizona as well. But what's happening is in between heat waves, if you will, when there's enough moisture, they can chemically nucleate and create a cold, dense layer on the ground that lowers thermometers. It might be a few hundred feet thick, maybe 1,000 feet thick at the most. But what we're getting, Dave, from pilots that we communicate with, private and Gulfstream pilots, commercial pilots, they're seeing only positive temperature anomalies at altitude, only warmer, far warmer. In fact, one Gulfstream pilot communicated with us that his aircraft was put into a forced descent from above 40,000 feet, auto descent, because it was nearly 50 degrees above what they would have expected at that altitude. So this is scary stuff. They're scared. And the geoengineers, in the course of trying to hide things like they're doing in the Gulf, they're really the biggest single factor fueling the fire.
It's mind-boggling here that why people would do this. Let me ask you another question I wondered a lot about, but I haven't fully satisfied myself with an answer. When you change the weather in one place, what about the law of unintended consequences where weather might be affected unintentionally somewhere else?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, and so if you take that butterfly effect and consider any weather mod intervention program anywhere of any scale would potentially alter weather patterns all over the globe from the downstream effect. Now let's take the fact that we see nothing on NASA satellite imagery that's natural. Nothing. I look at satellite imagery from all over the globe every day, and there is literally nothing we can see that would be considered historically a natural weather pattern. So the entire system is completely derailed at this point. Completely. We have no idea where we're at now. We're completely uncharted territory. And the level of damage is likely beyond extreme, and we can get into that with the UV issue we spoke about off the air, but we are in absolutely uncharted territory, and the pressure built up in the system right now is probably far beyond cataclysmic. So, and again, if we look at ocean temperatures, which are a real barometer for the energy that's built up in the system, a cubic meter of seawater contains 4,000 times the thermal energy of a cubic meter of air. That's where the energy is built up, and the planet is trying to release it. And when they've suppressed hurricane impacts on the U.S. major impacts, and again, for your listeners that don't remember, Sandy was not a major hurricane. It did major damage, but it was not categorically a major cyclone based on wind speed. So we had no major impacts for over 12 years because they were suppressing those. But what does that do to the whole system, and is that good for the planet overall? And the answer is patently no.
We were committing suicide. And
yes.
This is why when I asked you about agenda earlier, I mean, don't they have, these people who are behind this, don't they have to live in the same cesspool they're creating for everybody else?
Here's what you have to consider. To all those involved, and there are so many individuals, agencies, so many people involved, but they believe, they've been trained, told, programmed, conditioned to believe that what they're doing is for the greater good. And we have several interviews from insiders that are posted on geoengineeringwatch.org that prove that is what they believe. Just like Dave, an example I've used before, the pilots in Vietnam that were spraying Agent Orange on their own comrades on the ground were certainly told, don't worry, it won't hurt your fellow soldier, which couldn't have been further from the truth. Or Dave, you've seen the soldiers out with their goggles on watching the nuclear bomb go off, right, as if that wouldn't harm them. They were told it wouldn't. So we have a lot of participants, a lot of legions of order followers that are being convinced what they're doing is for the greater good, it could not be further from the truth. There is no benevolence in geoengineering. Ultimately, it's about power and control. Even hiding the severity of damage done to keep business as usual for the military-industrial complex, to keep Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, and the rest, Boeing, building aircraft, participating in these programs, that is truly short-term gain for them at the cost of planetary omnicide. And for those that aren't familiar with that term, it's not just ecocide or genocide, but omnicide, the destruction of all life forms on Earth, and that's exactly the path we're on.
Well, let's jump to the what I think could be the big one from what you said before we went on air. You're talking about the bath of radiation that we're being exposed to now. Let's go there.
Well, we suspected this was the case going back a number of years to geoengineeringwatch.org because we were seeing a number of red flags that indicated the UV radiation was off the scale. When we began to test it, the first testing we did was with a contact I had. He was a former metering specialist for the government, 20-year veteran there, and we were coming up with not just extreme levels of UVB, off-the-chart levels of UVB, but we were getting UVC on the surface. For your listeners, so they understand the spectrums of UV radiation, you have UVA and UVB, and we're told that's all we get on the surface. 95% UVA, no more than 5% UVB. Now we're getting extraordinarily high levels of UVB, many times higher than we're being told, and we're getting UVC, and UVC is the last spectrum of UV radiation before X-ray. UVC is used to sterilize labs. It's a DNA-altering band of radiation. We're seeing mutations in the forest right now. The rate of ozone collapse, and there's a massive northern hemisphere ozone hole now as well, and no official agency, Dave, is metering UV below 300 nanometers, and we're having UVC below that down to 270. So bottom line is this, they are not looking for what they don't want us to know is occurring. No official agency. And the UV readings that we get officially are completely fictitious. They have no basis in reality whatsoever. So I'd encourage your listeners to look at the south-facing side of trees. Not all species or all specimens, but many. The bark is completely cooked off the tree. The Cambrian layer is cooked off. The leaves are singeing, scorching. We have peer-reviewed study now. Whales' backs are being sunburnt. Plankton are being killed off because the UVC is killing plankton. It's killing insects. If we continue on the current path, our time horizon, if climate engineering is not stopped, that's the initial first step we have to take. There's other factors in addition to that. But if we don't alter course completely, mathematically speaking, even if the equation doesn't become more nonlinear than it already is, we're not going to be around long from the UV issue alone, let alone everything else. No ozone layer, no terrestrial life on Earth. It's that simple.
Well, who knows this, and is this why we're seeing Silicon Valley go deep underground?
Well, certainly those in power are digging in with their DUMs, their deep underground military bases. That acronym fits as if they're going to survive there long if the planet continues on this course. So we're not dealing with sanity, unfortunately, but yes, there's a lot of preparations being made, and we know for some of the freeze-dried foods, and I agree that's a very precious commodity that people need to make sure they have enough of, but we talked to some of the major retailers several years ago that were offline completely from retail because they were stocking up military bases, so we try to make sure our data is accurate, and there's no question they're preparing for total collapse of society right now.
Guesses for time frames?
On the, mathematically speaking, on the UV issue alone, because it's impossible to know when certain links will fall out of the chain, but there are many links right now that are already past the breaking point. In regard to the UV radiation, on the current trajectory, our NASA engineer, we have a NASA engineer working for us right now, by the way, and we'll publish more data from him next week. And he gives us right now less than a decade before total ozone layer collapse, and more likely 4 to 8 years if we stay in the current trajectory. And your listeners certainly should be able to feel the intensity of the sun. You can feel the UV. Even if the ambient temperature is not that high, the UV is easy to feel. And here's where the equation gets more complex, Dave, because the layer upon layer of insanity from the military-industrial complex, every time something starts to go wrong, they double down again and again and again. It's the only thing they know how to do. So they keep heaping layer of insanity on layer of insanity. We have methane filling the atmosphere right now, and I'm not talking about from livestock. I'm talking about even mantle methane and frozen methane hydrate deposits in the Arctic that are thawing and freezing. Dave, have you by chance seen the methane craters in Siberia?
No, not in Siberia.
I would encourage your listeners, if they search methane crater Siberia, what they see will shock them. They look like massive atomic bomb craters. They're huge. And this is methane. You have to see this to believe it. This is methane thawing and exploding into the atmosphere. Why is that a problem? Because methane is, over a 10-year time horizon, over 100 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. So we have the whole climate science community lying by omission on countless levels, lying by not admitting to the climate engineering elephant in the room, and lying by not admitting to the methane that's blowing out of Siberia. There's about 7,000 of these crater blowouts right now happening on the seafloor on a bigger scale. It's covering the planet like a layer of glass. I'll weave this back to the ozone layer. So what's the climate engineering industrial complex doing? They're using ground-based microwave transmitters to microwave the atmosphere in an attempt to try to molecularly degrade the methane without considering any of the consequences. That's further destroying the ozone layer. So what you see is they're chasing a ball downhill, if you will. Everything they do causes a massive downstream dominoing effect of consequences, and the more the consequences they trigger, the more they double down on the programs, trying ever more insane tactics. So microwaving, it's called Project Lucy and Project Alamo. Your listeners can look that up. Those are acronyms. And that's microwaving the atmosphere to try to degrade the methane that climate engineering helped to further fuel the process of releasing in the first place.
If you were named the weather czar, what would be the first couple of things that you would do?
The first thing I would do is all forms of climate intervention program, every form would have to be shut down. Dave, even what people perceive as some sort of benign small-scale cloud seeding, you know what that is. There's hundreds of those programs publicized in the U.S. every year, the cloud seeding to try to increase precipitation, right?
Yes.
You've seen those.
Absolutely.
Those programs are largely designed to distract people from the geoengineering elephant in the room, which really supersedes all of those small distractionary programs. But let's take this in theory, Dave. Hypothetically, if a small-scale regional program succeeded in squeezing rain out of some clouds somewhere, wherever that is, doesn't that mean that rain didn't get wherever it was going?
Well, that's kind of what I meant by law of the unintended consequence, yes.
So yeah, I'm
exactly
with you on
it
that
does.
Completely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now when you disrupt the whole hydrological cycle, and again, the massive forest fires that are burning all over the globe can most directly be attributed to climate engineering. And this is where we have the hypocrisy of the whole environmentalist community, the climate science community, that are labeling the forest die-off just as a consequence of the beetles, which is not true. The beetles are a symptom. They're not the core causal factor, or the changing in temperature, which is a factor with the beetles because it's not getting cold enough to kill them now in many regions. But the bigger factor by far is climate engineering because they're disrupting the hydrological cycle. We have toxic heavy metals, primary elements and geoengineering components, starting with aluminum, saturating soils, killing root systems. We have the ozone layer we spoke about that's frying the foliage, killing the trees from above. And we have more dry lightning because we have these electrically conductive particles, so we have fires starting everywhere. So many roads lead back to climate engineering, burning the forest down. And we have the, again, whole environmentalist community and climate science community turning two blind eyes to the climate engineering elephant in the room. And although they're under a federal gag order, I'm not sure if you're aware of that, Dave, or your listeners are, there's an illegal federal gag order on all the weathermen right now. So not only do they have no First Amendment protection, they're under an illegal gag order. So I understand that there's consequences for them to speak out, but I would say this to those individuals. If you don't speak out, the whole ship is going down. So we're back to what I would do. These programs would be brought to an immediate halt. And if the human race had any interest in surviving, we would start figuring out how to plant trees and make them grow so that they can absorb some of these atmospheric gases and release oxygen. Because, Dave, one more factor, global oxygen content is plunging right now. It's down to quite concerning levels in urban areas, in many urban areas right now. How long can we hold our breath?
let me ask you this question here. If we were to cease all of these climate change programs, have you estimated, does anybody have any idea how long it would take for things to start to return back to normal?
That question carries an answer that most don't want to know. If we look at past events that did not have the momentum the current scenario has, the equilibrium period after those events, for example, the PETM event 55 million years ago, Paleocene, Eocene, thermal maximum, equilibrium period was perhaps 10 million years or more. We're not going to return to the planet we've known in any time frame that matters. Could we still salvage some of Earth's life support systems? Let's hope so. But not if climate engineering continues. If the planet's not allowed to respond, Dave, you know how miraculous nature is, right? Nature will try to survive if it's given half a chance, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But with the climate engineering straitjacket around the planet, the single most insane endeavor ever launched by the human race, the planet cannot respond. It cannot. Like the forests in the western U.S., for example, we had more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere 5 million years ago during the Pliocene epoch. Was the western U.S. and British Columbia in flames and completely droughting out into a dust bowl? No, because there was more rain. And the climate engineers are thwarting that overall. Yes, we have deluges in places because there's so much pressure built up in the system, and some of that they're directing. But overall, atmospheric relative humidity is going down right now since the late 40s. It started to drop. In spite of the planet warming, in spite of the laws of physics telling us a warming planet must have more relative humidity in the atmosphere, it's going down. How can it go down? Because the atmosphere is filled with these particles I've mentioned that are desiccant particles. They block light, which blocks evaporation or slows evaporation, and it changes convection, which slows wind overall. We have now less wind overall. And again, your listeners have to understand, I'm speaking in an overall context. Doesn't mean we don't have cyclones. Doesn't mean we don't have tornadoes or big wind events. Overall wind is diminishing on the planet because of this layer of materials that changes convection and that changes wind pattern. So in a nutshell, they're completely derailing all of Earth's life support systems, all of them. If we don't deal with climate engineering, which is why we're focused on this at geoengineeringwatch.org, nothing else will matter in the near term. And Dave, I know this may be a leap for some of your listeners, but I need to say it. This must be considered biological warfare as well, because we're breathing what they're spraying. So we have everything we would expect to have with these particles floating down through the air column: Alzheimer's, dementia, respiratory issues, COPD. Everything we would expect is going off the scale. And climate engineering is the single greatest source of those atmospheric particulates just not being admitted to. But at any point in time, the power structure chooses to level the playing field. If they put something else in that mix with the existing spray operations that are already up and running, they could level the playing field with a biological agent any time they want.
And what do you mean by that?
I mean, if too many people wake up and they feel things are getting out of control, they could, by altering the mix that's already being sprayed, and we're talking about a stated goal of 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates sprayed into our skies annually. 20 million tons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smaller the particle, the more harmful it is. And your listeners might wonder, well, how come nobody's detecting this? Because all the air quality equipment tests for generally PM10, 10 microns, and occasionally PM2.5, 2.5 microns. But these particles are far smaller, far more dangerous, and go completely under the radar because none of the equipment is designed to detect them. So this mountain of metals falling down on us, clogging our neurological system, our respiratory system, causing and triggering disease, it's already biological warfare. If they chose to put a lethal pathogen in this mix, game over, anytime they want.
This is the time to tell this story, and some of my listeners who've been with me for a long time have heard this. But Dane, I used to be really good friends with someone in FEMA who lived in Phoenix, and we started out an emergency response program that merged. I was on the civilian side of it, a volunteer for my campus, and FEMA took it over. And we knew each other, got to be friends, hung out together. And one night he comes, this is I was still coaching college basketball, and he comes to my office on campus, and he and his wife are waiting for me outside the door. And he says, "We got to talk." He said, "We're leaving, and we're going to leave soon, but you can't say anything until December." and you need to know what's happening. Now, this was October of 2012. He left in December. And what he told me, he said, there's a rising tide of populism in America. Now, this is pre-Donald Trump. No one ever thought about Trump being president. And he said, if it starts to manifest and take hold, he said, Dave, my specialty is counter-bioterrorism. And he says, I'm telling you right now that we have things that you can't even imagine. And he said, the elite will spray us until we're all dead. So what he was doing, they went to a semi-underground enclave that he and like-minded people who early retired from DHS, FEMA, and so forth, and they have their own little colony in the southeast. And he said, this may not work, but we got a better chance than you guys above ground. And he said, this is exactly what's going to happen with the rising tide of populism. Now, look what's happened. Here's Trump, and as imperfect as his administration is, you know, he could say the worst thing on TV, and he's still going to get 60% approval in real numbers because the people don't trust anybody else right now. And that's a rising tide of populism. And I'm writing the fifth part of a series tomorrow that's coming out that talks about the fact that there is a coup underway, and Trump is only the indirect subject of that coup. It's the American people that are the target of the coup. And now you're talking about dumping all this stuff on... I've read this book before, Dane.
Well, what we need is the population to understand that the stakes are that high. And in regard to the Trump administration and the Carson administration, I'm working with two retired Air Force major generals, and they're helping as much as they can behind the scenes. In January of 2016, the Trump campaign people and Carson's people were in this general's home to be given a presentation on climate engineering and the ramifications. GeoengineeringWatch.org supplied the materials. So there's no question that the Trump administration has known about this issue since at least January of 2016. What we see is a further doubling down of these programs in the last year and a half. I mean, they're being ramped up to unimaginable scale right now. So there's no pulling back. They're only going forward at an ever-increased rate. So whatever the case and whoever's pulling the strings, there is absolutely no backing off, and they're ramping up, Dave.
Incredible. Why are they wasting time with all this social engineering that they're doing? Antifa and all the other stuff that's happening. I mean, if we're headed down the path of climate inevitability for extinction, why waste your time on these groups?
Perhaps they're not ready yet. Perhaps their pieces of the puzzle are not put in place with their underground preparations. Who can say? I mean, in that regard, there's things that we can't know. But certainly, if we remain on this trajectory, and I would encourage your listeners to investigate what I'm saying. I don't want anybody to believe anything I'm saying. If we look at species extinction rate today, we've lost, in the last 40 years, we've lost two-thirds of Earth's wildlife populations. Two-thirds. And regarding insects, back to the UVC and back to the toxic particulates that are falling on us, Northern California, 90% insects decline, aquatic and terrestrial, in the last decade, 90%. So how long will we be here, Dave, if the insects can't make it, and they're 90% gone right now in Northern California?
Is this really what's happening to the bees?
It is. On another count, let's have your listeners look this up. I'd encourage all of them to look this up. Very important. Search bees aluminum. So we've heard about the glyphosate, the radio frequency transmissions, all harming the bees, all not good for the bees, no denial on that. But we knew there was a bigger issue. We knew that issue was the toxic heavy metals, and we tried to communicate this to beekeepers for over a decade. Nobody would listen. Now we have peer-reviewed study to prove that bees are dying, and the science reports actually state this. They're dying of symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia because they are packed full of aluminum, in some cases 60 to 70 times more aluminum than it would take to cause Alzheimer's or dementia in a human. The bees are dying of the same conditions that we're dying from. So if your listeners search bees aluminum, they'll find peer-reviewed science study. It'll come up on any Google search engine to back up what we're saying.
Do you know, I think this might be the unified field theory of conspiracy. I think you've hit the baseline. I really do. And here's what I mean by this. I'm wondering here out loud. I'm thinking as I go, so forgive me. But I think that all the social chaos, the NFL kneeling stuff, the possible wars with Russia, North Korea, on and on and on it goes. Perhaps this is really nothing but distractions to keep us away from what's really important.
I would agree with you 100%. That is our premise. All of this is simply a design to distract the population until the last possible moment while the ship is going down. And that's exactly where we're at. And it's a very, very short time horizon if we remain on this course. That's a mathematical certainty. That's not speculation. So we must change course, and I would agree with you on that premise 100%.
Well, when we look at this situation, you left, and I look for the smallest glimmer of hope because I don't accept defeat. And you left the smallest glimmer of hope when I asked you about, well, why do all this other social engineering stuff? And you said, maybe they're not ready. That opens up another line of questioning I have. What can we do? Are there any options available to us? What can we do?
Every single person listening could play their part in changing the course of the Titanic that we're all on. Every person listening could. But you have to share credible data, not just a verbal dissertation with facts and figures that you maybe are not familiar enough with or can't remember. Share credible data. We've made that available now at the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. We're simply trying to get those materials out into circulation. We have the most effective materials available, period. We have a 20-page colored glossy booklet, fact and photo filled, that you can't argue is climate engineering. We have photographs of the nozzles, government documents, the illegal gag order, NASA images. No one who looks at that book who has any sense of reason left would doubt that this is real and it's now. We also have single-page flyers that are fact-filled. So when you share credible data with people, when you pass something on with visual images that are inarguably shocking, that has a profound effect. We have to reach a critical mass of awareness from the ground up because, Dave, as you know, the entire governmental system is a cancer. Everyone in it is bought, sold, and paid for. The agencies are not speaking out, and we know that academicians are waiting for enough public cover to come out of the shadow. And if we could provide that to force our local mainstream media sources to hold them accountable for not covering this and to, again, create enough public awareness where the academicians can come out of the shadows and admit to this because they all know what's going on, we could still change course. I'm not saying our problems are over. They're not. But we could still change course. We could still perhaps salvage what's left of Earth's life support systems. Everyone can play a part in that. And you know how exponential the equation goes. If you pass on credible data to two people at the start of a 30-day month, and then those two to two each the second day and so forth, you're into the millions in 30 days. If people would all help us pick this torch up and run with it, and sharing credible data is imperative, not speculative data, but credible data with the documents, with the patents, with the photos. If everyone did that, we could get this issue to light before they're ready. We could beat them to the intersection. We could alter the equation.
Cognitive neuropsychology is something that's in my wheelhouse. I've taught it enough years to where I feel I've got good command of it. So I'm using this as a baseline to justify what I'm about to say, because what I'm about to say is going to sound highly conspiratorial. But if I were on the other side and I could flip the switch on the part of the globalists, what I would want to do is basically incapacitate your mental processes to think critically. This is why they're dropping aluminum on us. Because as the hour approaches when we finally say, everyone's got skin cancer, the crops aren't growing, look at what's happening. If they can dumb us down in mass, they can prevent a unified response by the time we realize what's really happening.
I completely agree with you, and all the facts would back up what you just stated. From fluoride to the aluminum crashing down through our air column, we have an attempt to make less assertive and less neurologically functional the entire population that's happening. And Dave, and you know IQs are dropping. You know that statistically they're dropping.
I do. That's why I said it. I'm well aware of what's happening, and I know what's happening to the rates of Alzheimer's and dementia. And I know it is due to what's dropping out of the sky, but I didn't connect it to the fact that you've got to have some mental acuity to realize what's happening before it's too late.
I mean, and now
we're going to fade into the darkness without so much as a whimper.
We will if we remain on this course. And now we finally have peer-reviewed study as of about 8 weeks ago that conclusively confirms that without the aluminum component, regardless of all other environmental elements or exposure, without aluminum, there would be no Alzheimer's in the span in a normal human lifespan. That's the core key component. So we know that for sure now. We have, unfortunately, in the case of, for example, the Alzheimer's Foundation, which I've shared a story before, they refused me a booth. I was trying to give a $500 donation so we could share some of this data. They refused and actually threatened to have me arrested when I showed up to try to spread some of that data, because there's members of the aluminum industry sitting on the Alzheimer's Foundation board. So we have the foxes running the hen house all the way through, and we have a population that chooses to believe that there's benevolence in the Alzheimer's Foundation, the Cancer Foundation, whatever. But all these agencies are simply orchestrated from the top to mask the real issues. And the bottom line, we can't hold our breath. We have to breathe. And now we have an air column all over the globe saturated with metals that we know radically and in many cases permanently degrade our cognitive function. So what do we do? Is this not a fight for life? It is.
There's no question it's a fight for life. This might be out of your wheelhouse, and it's probably something I should refer to Dr. Ted Brower. But I'm wondering, is there anything that we can take that would slow the cognitive decline, the physical decline of the brain? Do you talk about that at all?
I do, and that, and in doing so, I don't want to take anything away from Ted, because he is an expert, and I would recommend his advice on any of this. I greatly regard Ted. But there is a great deal of steps people can take with normal, readily available supplements that can help chelate these metals and keep them moving through your system to keep them from building up, because these are bioaccumulative materials. They tend to adhere to cell receptors like a plaque. So there's chelating agents, chlorella, even cilantro. Vitamin C and calcium are even chelating agents. What I would recommend your agents or your listeners do, again, is to consult somebody like Ted or like their local nutritionalist and find out what elements would be best for them. Chelation has to be done carefully. If you dislodge a lot of elements all at once, that can do more harm than good. But absolutely, there are things we can do to help keep ourselves more functional while we're running this race towards trying to salvage what's left of our planet. So all of it's important to do.
Well, you know who I'm going to be talking to in the morning. I just had Ted on. And I almost wish I could have reversed the order of the interview here, because to me, we need to buy time. And we need to buy time by slowing down the rate of our decline. And you're right about the IQs going down. In fact, I will tell you this from the other side of things. I know some people who work at in Princeton, and they design the IQ tests. And they're telling me, they're accommodating for a bell curve, a new bell curve. In other words, you know, you really won't look at IQs in 2 years or 3 years and say they're really dropping. They're only dropping on the old paradigm. The new paradigm is going to bell curve the new existing data. So you'll never know. You'll think, oh, 100 IQ, that's still average. No, IQs have actually dropped about 6%. But they keep adjusting the test to cover the facts.
But this is the same process they're using across the board to mask the severity of what's unfolding, and the UV data is a prime example. Starting in about 1980, just after 1980 is when the readings appeared to be centrally processed and a fictitious reading released, so that the reading pacifies the population, but it has no basis in reality, not from a historical perspective. So the same process is being used to mask the severity of what's unfolding across the board.
You know, one of the ways that I think we can start to get marching feet, and this is ultimately what we're talking about doing, is approaching people like Ted Brower or Mike Adams and people who understand health. And I think from that perspective, they have a large following. I think that's a really good place to center some efforts. I mean, have you made breakthroughs in that area?
Well, we have data from people, for example, and I would encourage your listeners to look at this. It's the second to the last or third to the last page in the 20-page booklet that they can find on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. It's a statement from internationally recognized neuroscientist Dr. Russell Blaylock, award-winning yes. neurologist. You're familiar with Dr. Blaylock. His warnings about what we're breathing in the air column from climate engineering. Again, this is an internationally recognized individual. It could not be more dire that these particles enter through the olfactory nerve as we inhale them, go straight into the bloodstream, cross the blood-brain barrier, where they do irreparable damage. And this is, it's happening in all of us. Again, it's happening in the entire web of life. These particles are being absorbed by plant life as well, because they're, again, bioavailable in their form. So if you want to, if your listeners want to see a truly dire, concise statement from a top professional on the planet in this arena, it's, I think, the third to the last page in the 20-page booklet's right on the home page of geoengineeringwatch.org. They can see a statement by Dr. Russell Blaylock that's part of that booklet.
Well, I'm going to do my part. I've known it's bad, but this interview has hit me between the eyes. I'm not sleeping tonight. I mean, thanks to you, I am not going to get much sleep tonight, because, you know, when I look at problems that I address in my work, a lot of them have solutions if we can wake enough people up. This one, it might be too little too late, but we sure better try, because our lives depend on it. I mean, that's how I'm beginning to see it.
Well, who can say? Again, if we could free the planet from this insanity, free our air column, regain what we can of our health, who can say what good we might yet do, Dave? And one final element to drive home the severity of what's happening. We know aluminum's highly toxic. We know mercury's highly toxic, for example. Those two metals, mercury in our vaccinations, in our amalgam fillings, other sources. When you combine those two metals, peer-reviewed studies state that the overall toxicity can increase as much as 10,000%, 100 times worse when you combine those two metals. So again, the severity of what we're being exposed to can't be overstated. It can't be. This is a lethal mix that we're all being exposed to. We have to deal with this, or nothing else will matter. It's that simple.
You know, we talked in the last hour about, I had a recent medical visit to look at skin cancer, and I was asked by three different people, had I had my flu shot, which I don't take. And this is why it's being pushed. I got it. I got it completely.
Exactly.
Man, oh, man. I mean, we got to get to work. I'm going to start here on the Common Sense Show on my website. We are going to begin to run a lot of your articles, Dane. We're going to really put this out there in a big way. And I'm just going to say this publicly to my audience. I've been doing this now for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in December. And this may very well be the most important hour that I've ever broadcast. I knew it was bad, Dane, but you just filled in the gaps for me, and I just, like I said, I'm just almost paralyzed. I don't even know what to say next. I want to give out your website again, geoengineeringwatch.org, and it's a great resource. I use it every morning because you're nice enough to send me all your emailed stuff and makes accessing easy. And let me ask you this real quick question, 10 seconds or less. Are you getting death threats?
Not yet.
You will.
And again, whatever happens, though, whatever happens, whatever the potential consequences, we have to do this. There's no hiding anywhere. The whole ship's going down. So for anybody who's afraid of consequences, we all have to do this.
Ted, Dane, we're out of time. And thanks so much for joining us. We got to scoot. There's the music. We will be back next week. Three great guests tonight, everybody. And share the archives with your neighbors that didn't listen. Thanks, Dane.
Thanks, Dave.